They don't know. They know they have stickers, and it drives them crazy. If you, one of the things you can do to sort of mitigate the sticker problem is when you mow your grass, use a catcher, a bag.
Bag, yes.
You know, bag the clippings, because you're at that point you're sucking up those stickers and putting them into a bag and taking them out to the curb, as opposed to mulching or traditional mowing, where you're scattering the stickers everywhere and you're taking a small problem and actually making it worse.
Which makes total sense.
Yeah.
So on our grass, still, I think we got that covered. What about watering on grass? What do you recommend?
It depends on what kind of grass you have, and it depends on the season. For example, I went over to your house a few weeks ago when fall kind of came in, uh-huh. and we had some rain. And I turned your sprinklers way back. I have yours set for once a week, which is plenty in this because it's cool and we've had some rain. This will get you by. I think I got each zone for like 15 minutes once a week, or maybe 20 minutes. It's very little water, and this will get you by until March or April.
Besides me, how many people do you have to set their sprinklers for them?
I do it for people all the time.
I screw it up.
I don't mind people overusing water in the summertime because you almost can never overwater. Yeah. The only downside to overwatering is you got to pay the daggum water bill. Yeah. Other than that, your grass is never going to reject too much water. You can always use the extra water. I don't mind people overwatering in the summertime, but there's no good reason to water in the wintertime. Your grass is dormant. It's yellow, right? It used to be green, and we got a freeze, and now it's yellow.
You explained it to my wife just the other day.
And so the grass is not using any water or using very little water. It's like when a bear goes into hibernation, it's not eating through the whole winter. Your grass and your plants and your vegetation in your yard is really not using much water. Do yourself a favor. Turn your sprinklers off or program them to go off infrequently. Once a week at the most is fine. If we get some good rain, walk out there and turn them off.
And what about your flower beds?
Same.
So the same, those plants are the same way?
They're the same.
Little bushes or whatever. What are the little green bushes?
I can't remember. You have, you may have oleanders. I can't remember.
But just stay green all the time, which I like to stay green.
And if we had a warm spot during the winter, I mean, it is still West Texas. It could happen. You could turn them back on. But for the most part, we get a little bit of rain. Remember, the days are short. It's only 8 in the morning until 5 in the evening that we have the sun out. We get a little bit of rain. Our landscapes will be fine. You stick your finger in the ground, you can feel the moisture. As we get into April, March and April, the days start getting longer and we get warmer temperatures, then we got to bump the sprinklers up.
But you're 100% right. I mean, you think about our days now.
Yeah.
It's 7:30, 8 o'clock where the sun's really coming up. And 5:30, it's down.
Yeah. So. One thing that you have that is interesting, the state of Texas mandates in irrigation systems, it's been several years since, and I can't remember how long, that when you do a new sprinkler install, and you have this at your house, there's a rain sensor on there. And I don't know if you ever noticed it. It's a little device on your house, and it has a little antenna, and it sends a signal to your irrigation controller. And what it does is, when it's raining, turns it off automatically. So if your sprinklers are scheduled to go off, I think yours are Sunday at 1 in the morning, let's say. And if it's raining any time during that period, it will send a signal to your controller and tell it, don't water, which is pretty smart.
It's real good.
And because the opposite of that is you drive around town in a good shower and you see people running their sprinklers and you just scratching your head going, why are you watering? It's raining. But
And there's nothing better than rainwater.
Yeah, there's nothing cleaner and better than rainwater. There's no amount of irrigation water that you can get out of the reservoirs and out of the city water that will make up for a good shower.
Welcome back to Real Estate and You. I told you we'd learn some good information. Don, good job.
Thank you, bud.
Let's keep going. One thing, trees.
Yeah.
I know you just went and got some trees for you and me.
Yeah.
What did you get? Isn't that pretty bad? What did you get? I don't even know what he got. What kind of trees did you get? What are we planting, and why did you get them?
I was in Dallas, and so
were you doing in Dallas, or Don?
Well, I went to the NASCAR races. So
he's a big NASCAR guy.
Yeah. So on my way back, I made it a point to stop in at the wholesale nursery where I buy my trees in Stephenville, because I wanted to hand. I usually just do it over the phone. I just order and they send, and it's all good. Well, I wanted to see their operation and look at the trees and pick some. I needed 7 or 8 trees, and I wanted to hand pick them, and they were real nice. And so I went out and I saw they have just acres and acres of container grown trees. It's really beautiful, this whole setup. So I bought some trees and had them delivered. The type of trees that I picked out were a combination of live oak and Chinese pistache.
Hey, I love live oaks. Yeah. I don't really, what is a Chinese pistache?
Chinese pistache is a really interesting tree that does really well in our climate and our environment in West Texas. The reason why I like it is it has a real uniform upright growth. It doesn't tend to go messy and get limbs. It has a real uniform, even by itself, naturally, without being trimmed all the time. It just has a real nice shape to it, and they're real pretty. They have a pretty fall color, a red like a red oak. The leaves turn red in the fall, and it looks pretty. I think we bought some red oaks as well. Those are the type of trees. Those are an example of some of the trees that do real well in West Texas. There's some others that I like, but when I went to the tree farm, I didn't see any that were real. They didn't really knock my socks off. The live oaks and the Chinese pistache were really nice.
I know a Spanish oak's real popular here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, those are good, too. You see those? I see those a lot in San Antonio. I like the cedar elms, like red oaks. And they have all kinds of, you know, there's lots of ornamental trees, crepe myrtles and vitex and magnolias and things. They have all that stuff. Those are all suited for our climate.
And crepe myrtles are, I know, are hardy.
Crepe myrtles are hardy, yeah. Sometimes, depending on your soil and your water, they don't make the flowers like you should expect. If you'll notice, if you go to Atlanta or Houston or Dallas and you see crepe myrtles and they're just covered in flowers, that's why we buy them. That's what we're looking for in a crepe myrtle. We don't always get that here, and I think I've been told that it has to do with our water and our soil. And I've been told if you'll add a certain element, I think it's phosphorus, I can't remember, I'd have to look it up, there are some different fertilizer elements that you can add to the soil that'll make your crepe myrtles pop. But
well, I know, and this is from Tommy, we had him on the show, there's a lot of salt in our water.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And that's not good for plants.
No, it's not good. It's red oaks don't like it. It gets on the leaves. If you'll, the typical way people will respond to that by saying salt in the water, how do you know? Here's an easy way to know you have salt. We all have it. We all get our water from the same place. When you look at a fence line, any privacy fence, a wood fence line, and you see those white stains, yeah, on there, that's salt. Your sprinkler is blowing water out of it. Yeah, the sprinkler's putting water out, the wind's blowing it, and you'll see a distinct salt pattern, a white residue on your fence. That's what's in there. It's undissolved salt that's in our water, and there's nothing we can do about it. Of course, having full reservoirs helps,
yes,
which we do now, right?
Yes.
And because the salt is less concentrated because there's so much water in the reservoir. But you can imagine, I mean, I'm not a hydrologist or a scientist, but I can only imagine a year or two ago when Twin Buttes was at 15%,
oh, yeah,
17, 12%,
yeah.
Could you imagine the salt content of the water then?
Yeah.
And that reservoir is now at, it's 100, isn't it? Or 90?
No, it's 80-something.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is great.
And the same with Lake Ivy.
Yes.
You know, the lower the water levels get, the more the salt, you know, but I think we're past that.
So now's the perfect time to plant a tree, isn't it?
Now's an ideal time to plant a tree because the people ask me, and I tell people that, and they say, well, that can't be true. Trees, even in the wintertime, if you plant trees in the fall, throughout the winter, the roots of the trees will still grow. And the tree will still establish itself in the spring, in the fall, winter, and in the springtime, it'll leaf out.
And be good. So is a tree's the roots still, what, are the other plants, do they just go dormant? That grass, that root goes dormant?